Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode number 67 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing too. Last week I did open water hole with the fabulous coach Mick. You can catch him on Swim Well, Swim Fierce on Instagram and sign up. He's a Leinster champion of open water and he does lessons, individual, group, triathlon, whatever you want to do. And this week I've struck gold again with the wonderful Caroline Grace Cassidy, one of Ireland's best writers. She has fitted so much into her life. It is ridiculous. And she's the same age as me. It is not fair. She's been an actor, director. Actor, director, podcaster, screenwriter, and a million billion books. Well, okay, maybe, I don't know, 10 or so. So she's another one coming out now called The Unexpected Love Story of Lexi Byrne. I think I got that right. I haven't read that one yet, but I'm looking forward to it because, and I tend to do a lot of reading on the toilet, so probably get piles now when she brings this one out. I know, hopefully not. So basically I'm going to ring her now and pretend not to be a fan. Just be very cool, calm, collected. Here we go.
Hi, it's Caroline. Sorry, I can't take a call. Leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hi, Caroline. This is Norma. Oh, you're trying to ring me. Here we go. Hang on. Is it going to work this time? She's a busy lady. Busy, busy lady. Like, she literally would put the rest of us to shame. Here we go. Caroline girl! Please answer. I've no one else to talk to.
Hello.
Don't say fucker bugger. We're recording. How are you?
I will say nothing of the sort. I will keep it as clean as my kitchen sink.
Oh, and I'm hoping that is filthy as my own.
It is very, very filthy right now.
I'm very good. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late ringing you, but there's a storm. Actually, I don't know if it's outside your window, but there's a thunderstorm. So I was out in the car all set up with me cushions and stuff, you know, and I'm now kind of half under the bed. I had to come back in. Yeah, have you a storm there?
No, we have blue skies and sunshine here.
Mother of Jesus. Tis a crazy country. Crazy country.
It's crazy. Which was like that, you know, I was down in Galway, it's flat, like I was saying to you, and left Dublin and it was like, you know, that scorching hot. And as soon as we pulled into Galway, absolutely like black skies, lashing rain. I brought no coat to the kids. I brought no leggings for the kids. It's like, but then it cleared up sort of for the next day. But all Friday was horrific weather down there.
Have you got a film in pre-production or production or development?
I have two in development. So the one I have, first one I have is called The Quiet Woman, which is, it's in development. So that was sort of a Screen Ireland developed film. And I wrote it with another writer called Ciara Geraghty. So that's in the development world. And
is that Ciara that you do the podcast with?
That is, yes, exactly. Yeah. Lovely Ciara Geraghty. She's a fab writer, but it's our first kind of, we wrote this again as a short and then Screen Ireland thought maybe it had legs to be, you know, pushed out into a feature. So
fantastic.
So that's in the ether somewhere, Norma. And then my Bride Squad Runaway book, which was out last year, we're very busy in development with that one.
That's a given, really. I've heard on the grapevine that that's going to happen because, like, reading that, it felt like a screenplay.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you what we did there, right? Between you, me and the wall. I say this is a joke, obviously, I'll be missing. But anyway, we did write it as a screenplay a couple of years ago and you know yourself, it's so hard to get anything made, you know, at the best of times. So anyway, we kind of took stock and stepped back and we said, you know what, let's go back and write it as a novel, try and get it published, and then off the back of that, because, you know, I think a lot of producers jump on the novels more so than a fresh screenplay.
Okay.
So it's been a long journey, but it was a very planned and structured sort of, you know, way to sort of get it.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because you're, like I was telling the listeners there before I rang you, like you're unbelievable. You exhaust me with the list of stuff you've actually done and like the amount of careers you've had and dabbled, from podcasting to directing to acting to like it's insane. But just even it's lovely to hear that you had the screenplay written, and even someone at your level was still struggling and had to go back and write the book, because I've written a screenplay and I got, you know, support, and then it just died a death, and then someone came to me going, make it into a book. It's like, it's literally like they were going, oh my god, it's so easy to turn that story into a book, and then you could do the screen version of it after. So it is warming to hear that that you have to adapt every day to try and succeed.
Yeah I mean, you know, like, you know, it's such a tough business to sort of, you know, you're always on the ladder somewhere, but just to try and, you know, keep climbing it is really tough. And
am I right, though, that you take well to rejection? Because, like, you really dipped your toe in stardom on the screen as well. Like, say, you were mingling with the likes of Natalie Portman and Jim Sheridan and whatever. And then you just kind of, I think it's smart people like you who go, I need 5 milking cows, or I need X amount of strings to my bow. And you never know when stuff comes back around, or all your acting experience is then played into your writing, is played into your directing, is played into your, you know, it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all linked. But, you know, the acting stuff, which I loved, but what sort of pushed me into being a writer was literally being pregnant, you know, because I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going for auditions, and, you know, I was sort of getting at that jaded stage where I was spending my pennies that I had, you know, parking and, you know, down in the courtyard 3 times a week and did it. But anyway, I just said, because I'd had the time and I'd always wanted to tackle the novel, but I was always kind of, you know, trying to get auditions, or, you know, you're doing stuff and self-taping stuff. But anyway, when I was sort of had stuff, you know, when I had time on my hands, I just said, look, I'll try it. And
You were too fat to audition, because they're never going to cast, they don't even cast a pregnant woman as a pregnant woman. They'll always get someone with a bump.
That's
a fake bump, sorry,
you
fake
know.
Bump.
Yeah, exactly. Unless maybe it's a, you know, for an ad or something, but otherwise it's like, no, go away, we'll give you the bump.
Yeah.
So it's, it was more sort of just out of, first, curiosity, and then second, I suppose, necessity to try and still fit myself into this artistic world, you know, and try and say, okay, I can do this because I can't do that. So there's always, you know, there's always a way, I think, within this business to
And did you do a competition to get you kick-started? Yeah. Like, do deadlines help you? A deadline hanging over you?
Absolutely. Like, you're so bang on. Like, I had, what was it? I think there was called The Morning Show, actually. It was on TV3, and they had a write a bestseller competition. Mm. And I think it was, I think it was only a six, it was about 6 weeks. I'd missed the beginning of it, so I'd only 6 weeks, but that was what kind of drove me. No, I'm going to get this in. I'm going to say, you know, I'll get it finished by then. And I did, and sent it in. Now, I didn't win it, but I was the runner up and I got a 3-book deal out of it. So it was well worth the push.
That's unreal. Give us the name of the three books.
So the first one that I wrote that I sent in for the competition was called When Love Takes Over. So that was then you get the call from, it was Poolbeg Press at the time, and they're like, you know, we'd like to tell you, you didn't win. You're like, but you know, we did, you know, you've got this 3-book deal. And they're like, yes, I'm not buying my makeup at pennies anymore. I'm going to buy my makeup at Red Thomas. And then, you know, then the contract comes and they're like, yeah, no, I'm still buying my makeup and pennies.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah.
You know, yeah. You think.
And now you're buying your children's makeup as well. Haven't you have you one daughter or two daughters?
I have 2 daughters. Yeah. So Grace is 13 and Maggie is 9. So yeah.
You're very, very similar to myself. I have 2 13s and 1 11. So there's 3 girls here. It's all about the fake tan and the Daisy Dukes or whatever those shorts are.
Yeah, so I was messing with it. She's into Hollister now, so I was going to get, you know, one of those bands around your head with a torch on the front, you know, that they wear, like, if you're going underground to the mines. I said, I'm going to wear that next time we go to the shop. Mom, you're so embarrassment, but like, geez, you can't see a fucking thing.
Oh no, which, constant embarrassment. I nearly got kicked out of a, we were sort of dining outdoors recently. I nearly got sent home because I ordered the wrong thing and I sat the wrong way and I brought the wrong shades, and they actually took me shopping for clothes beforehand because you're such a state and you'll embarrass us in public. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted there. So back to yeah, you earn millions writing books. Now, I've heard it's tough, that you really have to be hard at it and constantly streaming them out in order to keep an income.
Well, that's the thing. And also, because Ireland is so small, like, I mean, you just look at our charts, for example, you know, so the top 10, like, so the number 10 bestseller would be 200 copies. Now, you know, it's impossible to buy, you know, anything on only selling that amount. So I think it's also to do with just the population of the country. It's just, we don't buy a whole lot of books here, really. I think we're, you know, there's a lot of ebooks are bought now, and Kindle and podcasts. So I just don't know whether people aren't reading as much, or, you know, it is going, but, you know, you're reading on your Kindle, or, you know, you're buying things for 99 cents. So,
how did COVID affect it? How did COVID affect with the bookshops closing?
Really tough, you know, really, really tough. So I mean, you know, I didn't release a book during COVID, thank goodness, but like a lot I did, like Kira, who I was just talking about there, and, you know, Carmel Harrington, lots of really big writers, and there was nowhere to buy them. You know, you couldn't buy them anywhere. So
yeah.
People tend not to buy books online. It's kind of, you know, you get a lot of passing trade when, you know, if you're going into Easton's for something else and you see a book on the shelf and you pick it up. So without all that, I think it was really difficult.
And probably the airports as well. The airports are a big one, aren't they?
Huge, like, absolutely. The airports are huge for books. So, you know, most people will just wait until they get there to buy their holiday read because they don't want to put it into the case. So, you're missing out on all those sales. But I was just thinking, as a writer during it as well, I found it really difficult because, like, for me, like, I'm such a nosy cow. You know, I listen in to people on the bus, or if you're in the bar, you're listening to people and you're watching people. So when you're that isolated and just stuck in your own house, it's very hard to be creative and to, you know, sort of develop characters and plots. And
yeah,
so I found that hard.
So the one you're releasing at the moment is Unexpected Love Story of Lexi Byrne, correct?
That's correct, age 39 and a half.
So I haven't read that one yet, but that's
Yeah, so that comes out now in 2 weeks. So, you have a copy on the way to you there.
Ah, great.
It's a kind of a, you know, it's an observational story I wanted to write for a while, which is just watching a lot of women when they hit 40, kind of, you know, sort of looking around, the head comes up and you're like, you know, time's running out here. And it's something that I just wanted to sort of delve into and you know, I don't know, so the character basically is even though she's 40, she refuses to settle for anything less than, you know, someone who she absolutely is madly in love with.
It doesn't exist, lads. It's like, girls, anyone listening out there, you just find someone who will put up with you and you put up with them, like, I don't know.
That's it. You know, we're trying to keep that idea that, you know, that, you know, that unbelievable lust and, oh my God, the chemistry that, you know, is just...
Sure, that's called a fuck. Like, I mean, like... Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, one night and it's done.
Yeah.
It was just, literally just that idea of, you know, trying to find that, or, you know, what that is. You know, it hugely influenced the book by Dirty Dancing, because I remember, like, being 16 and, you know, when Johnny walked into Kellerman's into, you know... You just put your pickle on everybody's plate, college boy. And, you know,
oh my God. I've watched that film. I mean, possibly 100 times.
I know. Like, but I mean, just that sort of visceral chemistry that they had, you know, it always, since I was so young, 16 or so, it always had fascinated me that, you know, God, can people really have that kind of chemistry? So it's kind of that, and it's a fun read, and it's also sort of a best friend story. It's these two girls. She meets this guy basically in the Brazen Head on Paddy's night, on the night that she really doesn't want to go out, but she's dragged in.
Yeah.
But he lives in the Cotswolds, and he sort of invites her over, and her friend's like, you can't go over, you only met him once, so she goes with her. And of course, when she gets there, like, sort of, you know, all hell breaks loose, so she sees who he really is. So it's kind of a friendship story underneath it all, really, you know. Don't ignore the besties for the ride.
Yeah, because like, I'm kind of here picking your brain as well. I'm mad for throwing in random plots that are barely believable. How do you get the balance between throwing in crazy plots to keep people hooked and fascinated, but yet, because obviously life is stranger than fiction, even, but but yet keep it keep people connected in believability of the whole thing as well. It's
It's funny, you know. I think since Netflix and since, you know, Amazon Prime and all this, I think we're bombarded with not letting our brains settle and just take a little time to, you know, with, so if there isn't action, you know, people aren't really okay with not constant action anymore, and it goes for books as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like, you know, when you write a screenplay, suppose you're writing in three acts, you know, you're sort of beginning, middle and ending, and a book is very similar as well. But you have to finish and start each act with a cliffhanger. You know, you've got to, you know,
yes,
and you're waiting. So, I mean, I'm...
It's like the ad breaks, really, isn't it? It's like it's...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can take... That's exactly what it's like, you know. But you know, as a writer now, you've only got, you know, maybe 2 pages, 3 pages max where there isn't a real, oh, what's happening next? Because people just want to, you know, it's harder. I think years ago, like, you know, sort of when Maeve Binchy was writing, you know, there was quieter. There was a lot more time to just explore language and prose. And I just don't think books...
And even back in those days, like, if a book started describing the shape of a branch for more than half a page, like, I'm out of there.
Yeah. But, like, even if we take Normal People, you know, as the novel versus the TV show, and even though the TV show was quiet, I found Normal People quite a difficult read just because I hadn't read something so slow-paced in ages.
Yeah.
You know, obviously then, you know, when you have the visual, and when you have Paul Mescal, you know, everyone's just like, that's fine, we'll just take our time and sit here and watch him drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's harder, you know, on the page to kind of have that.
And actually, there's with Normal People, there's two people meeting from different sides of the tracks, and it's the same in Dirty Dancing. Does your book have different sides of the tracks in Lexi Byrne?
Yeah. So it's Dublin. So he's an English guy, and so she's an Irish girl. So, yeah, instead of just, you know, you take in all the sort of the different, you know, we're just how different we are. You know, Irish people are very colloquial, I think. You know, we're used to certain things. And, you know, for example, when she goes over to the Cotswolds, there's this huge extended family who, like, give her a pain in the hole.
Right.
You know, so, but it's trying to, you know, and it's also looking at that thing is when you hit 40, people come with baggage, you know, but most people have something, either they've an ex, or they've a kid, or they've a mother who's old, or a father who's old, you know, there's a lot more going on than when you meet somebody when you're 20 and you can just feck off and travel the world or go to Thailand to do whatever you want. At 40, those options aren't there, really.
Yeah, like you become... You kind of pull your head out of your arse somewhere in your long in your 30s, and you get sick of yourself and your downtime. I think that's when the babies kick in as well and all that. You go, do you know what? I can't look at myself anymore. I'm so over myself. I might actually just try this child thing, even though I wasn't that into it, but I'll give it a lash.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Come here. But I was talking to a friend of yours earlier for a work thing, and I'm going to give you a few hints, and you have to guess who it is.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he said, I said, I'll be on to Caroline later. Then he said, oh, right. Ask her about her fishbowl fetish. Now, I don't know, like, apparently you dropped your phone, you were driving, you had a fishbowl on your lap, and you dropped your phone. Now, I thought that was the worst excuse ever to get off the phone from someone, to be honest. Is it actually true that you were driving with a fishbowl on your lap and you dropped your phone into the poor goldfish? Or...
Right.
Great friend of mine. He did an episode about dogs a few weeks ago. Doggy Hole. It was bloody hilarious. Go on.
Oh, That'd be Achilles, yeah. Achilles dug his hole. No, I suppose I would be quite... people would always go mad because I don't answer the phone. I don't talk on the phone. I hate it. It's just, I don't do it.
So. I'm very blessed to have you then. Very blessed.
Yes. Obviously, stuff like this. You know, if people are ringing you, I'm always busy and... I just don't have time, or else I'm driving. But anyway, Michael would always slag me for years because I never answer the phone. You can't get me on the phone. But
you see, the problem with Michael as well is if you know there's going to be good chats. So if you only have a 3-minute window, there's no point in answering to Michael because he always has great stories.
Yes.
You need 20. You need 20 for Michael.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, with two kids and jobs and everything else you're doing, I don't really have that time. And like that, yeah, he'd be well onto the chats for ages. But no, so we do it. So it's an ongoing slag now that he always says, he texts me if I won't answer, is it in the fishbowl? Is the phone in the fishbowl?
And he said your birthday is on Christmas Day. That's weird.
That's correct.
Yeah. And, that's horrific. Like, that's traumatic nearly, is it?
Yeah, you know, you think that, but then I used to milk it for all his work. So like a couple of days before, my parents try and make a big deal. And so I'd end up getting like extra presents because, you know, I couldn't have the little parties that they'd have. So now I kind of, and then all day they'd go, don't forget now it's also Caroline's birthday.
Okay.
Don't mind me. I don't care. It was all that. So no, it's fine actually.
And the last thing he said was that you love riding horses.
Yeah, you know what? I don't get to ride as much as I'd like to.
Nobody does.
But growing up, that was my that's what I thought I would do sort of for a career. I was
be a rider.
Be a rider. I obviously just got a mix up between writer and rider. But I was show jumping as a kid, and then I think I just sort of discovered other things, and I just said, here to heck with that. But it's great. I mean, I love horses.
So do you still? Because I was brought up on a horse farm. Do you still ever get a chance to get up? Like, do you have one anywhere you can go and like? Do you go to a?
Yeah. Well, my sister now, she's one of the top equestrian teachers in the country, so she
Great.
Has a couple now, just up beside us here. But you know what, I think, Norm, as well, when you stop horse riding and then you start to go back, the nerves start to kick in. Like, I had my ear bitten off by a pony when I was a kid.
Oh, fuck.
Like, literally bitten off. So, you know, but I'm still okay then, you know, I was back in the next day. But then when you step away from it for a while, like, my sister's had her horses, they're like, say, a massive, you know, 18-2s, so... But now and then, I mean, I did. I went for riding to the Hellfire Club there a couple of months ago with her. We hacked up there and it was gorgeous. But I'd be on a slow one now, you know. I'd say, give me something tired.
Yeah, no, the fear definitely kicks in. And unfortunately, on my dad's farm, it was thoroughbreds. So you'd be riding absolute lunatics. And a great, great buzz whatsoever. But like at some point you go, do you know what? Horses aren't my thing for life, and I think I'm breaking enough bones here now to just back away for a while.
The problem is,
if I was off in college drinking and I hadn't been home for months, and then suddenly you're thrown up on a thoroughbred, you're hungover, your muscles aren't there, you don't have the muscles to hold.
Like Mr. Floppy.
Oh, completely. But no, I've great memories,
that,
and
that's horrific accident that Yvonne Connolly had. I just thought that.
I know. Was, I know.
She sort of hunting, and she did a dreadful accident. So you know, it's a really dangerous sport, as we know. But
And so it's like I'm mad into the swimming at the moment. There's people dying every day of the week. You just have to animals, boats, swimming. You just have to. There's a reason. There's a buzz off bungee jumping because there's a risk. There's a reason. There's a buzz. Like I've jumped out of planes to get buzzes. I'm a bit of a nut job, but like
you gave birth 3 times. There were 3 good buzzes.
Now, in fairness, 2 of them are twins, so I only went to twice. I was a bit time management. And come here, you're on the TV. No, it's Virgin Media now with Elaine a lot. Would you ever tell her that I love going in and having a reason to wash myself if she ever needs someone on the panel there not to forget me?
I will, of course. Yeah. Delighted to have you. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I must be 8 years doing the show now, but we're still kind of, there's only one person in now, and the rest will be on Zoom.
It's awful boring, isn't it?
Yeah,
awful boring.
It's awful. I hate it. You can't. You know, it used to be the buzz of going into the green room and chatting to the girls, and you'd have a laugh before you'd go out, and you know, you're all sitting around. It's different. It's harder. Yeah. It's certainly not as it's not as much crack as it used to be. We used to just have such great fun, and it's harder for Elaine as well, trying to keep it together with people on screens and one person there. So yeah, I hope they do bring back the full panel sometime,
because the humour goes out the window when you can't chat over each other with these all these Zooms and stuff. You nearly have to put up your hand to say something. It's torture.
It's awful, and I'm so conscious of not interrupting people that you're trying to watch them to see when they're finished, and it's, yeah, you're right, it's really impossible, because you lose the spontaneity, you know, you lose what you were about to say, because you're waiting, you don't want to interrupt, and yeah, it's certainly, you know, it's certainly a harder thing to do, for sure.
Yeah, and you're also writing, which rags are you writing on at the moment?
Which what?
Are you writing on the rags still, you know, the magazines and...
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm sort of, I dip in. I mean, I do a good bit for Women's Way. You know, I love the girls in there. They're so nice. They've always been really supportive for me for the book. So I do sort of the odd things there. I do a bit for Linda Marr for the U Magazine and Daily Mail. And, you know, you're just always kind of, you know, thrown in. But like,
you sound like a yes person. You're just a yes person. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but
yeah.
Do you sleep? Do you sleep?
I do, but only after I drink a lot of wine.
And your publisher is good to give you a deadline then for the book thing, just to
I think it is. Yeah, I think especially when you've kids, and you know, I'd be full time picking them up and dropping them off, and so you know, my main writing area normally in the school holidays is just 9 to 12, like, and that's it. So you know, people always say to me, "Oh, how do you do it? Just sit your hole down on the seat.
Sit your hole down.
Yeah, like there's no other way to do it."
And like, would you think if they had a school day and you had six hours instead of 3 hours, you might get more done in a 3 hour, because you're better now at prioritising stuff and just using your time?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I do envy all the writers go off up to Anna McCarrick, you know, up to that.
Fuck that.
They're getting their breakfast, lunch and dinner handed to them. I mean, I'd probably knock out 2 novels, but then again, maybe.
Well, no, because then you'd start writing about the shape of a branch, and I wouldn't be interested in you. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. I probably would, yeah. I mean, ideally when I write, you know, I do humour and comedy is sort of what I try to sort of get into my characters a lot, just for light relief, you know, but I think half the time it's more to amuse myself, to get into my own mind.
Well, as Michael Scott said, you're a complete and utter spacer, lunatic, mental, that every day of your life could possibly be a novel in itself. So he enjoys it so much. And you also did the thing with, was it Caroline Downey during COVID? Did you produce that music video?
Yeah, so we produced the Women in Harmony music video for Caroline early on, which was great because, you know, obviously that dream song was fab. And
did you make money out of it? How well did you do for whoever? Was it charity?
It was for charity, yeah. It started off not really. We didn't know where we were going to go with it. And then I think it was sort of for Women's Refuge and Domestic Violence, and it went to, Safe Ireland and sort of those. But, no, I mean, Caroline Denny, I know I listened to your podcast with Joe there a couple of weeks ago. I know he was talking about
Joe Conlon from the Gaiety, yeah.
Yeah, she's fab, Caroline Downey, and she's just so supportive. And
actually, she makes even you look lazy. She makes you look a bit lazy. Yeah, to be honest.
Honestly, I know. Now, if I could just have her house, I'd be happy.
Yeah, well, apparently she's up. She doesn't know it yet, but she's going to do a house swap with me pretty soon. So it's all
nice.
Yeah. Nice. No, I haven't sent her the message yet, but she's definitely up for it. I can see it behind her eyes. So the book is out in a couple of, what did you say?
So it's out on the 12th of August, today basically. So years ago, your book would be out and that was it. But now you have to have a degree in marketing and advertising and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and anything else out there. And you just have to keep prostituting.
That was on the tip of my tongue. It was like you sent me a text earlier going, yeah, I'd love to chat. Something about... You said, "I love whores podcasts." Instead of your podcast, you said something like, "You're whorey posse." And I was like, "Do you know what? That's okay. I'm okay with that title." And then you followed up with, "No, your podcast." I was like, "Yeah, okay, that's all right. I'll take either."
Well, you do. It's not. And see, now with books, you have to keep pushing pre-sales, which wasn't a thing when I kind of started 8 years ago. But it changes all the time. And, you know, it almost feels there that the easy crazy part is writing the book.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah, well, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever write one then. I wanted to write one called Heal Your Hole that you'd read on a toilet, and it just fell through last year. I was too close to Christmas. It was bad timing. Then I forgot about it this year, kind of, and I've bits of it written. It's just kind of one of those, you're sitting on the toilet and 365 pages maybe, or maybe even just 100.
Yeah, well, get on it. I mean, you know, I'll chat to you again about sort of where you should, you know, look for that for publishers, because there's a great market for those kind of books.
A lot of my ideas come to me on the toilet, so it's unique, really. But you're probably the same. You'd be hiding in the toilet for a bit of peace. You've probably written chapters in the toilet.
I have a maiden seat in the shower. I just pull the door across. That's it.
Brilliant.
I spend more time sitting in my car, actually, in the driveway. If I know I'm going to be, and they're both in friends at the moment. But if I know I have to have silence, that's what I'll be in. Just the face.
Yeah. Well, the car would have been better than this, actually. Unfortunately, we're in the bedroom here, and like, the second thing is overheating and everything. But sure, we do our best during COVID, don't we? We do what we can.
We definitely do.
So everyone has to get up off their hole and buy the book, Unexpected Love Story of Lexi Byrne. And we have to support our writers. And you're like, I don't know, are you our top Irish writer? Is Roddy Doyle better than you? Who will, I suppose... But there's a bundle of you, like, there's a few, you know, Claudia Carl.
Oh, yeah, there's a Grindel tribe now,
Marion.
Of writers. There's a whole bunch. But actually, you know, one of the things, when I came from the acting to the writing, I couldn't believe how supportive the female writers were. Because you're kind of used to being at an audition and, you know, people turn on their back and your whole, you know, did you get those sides? No, or people giving you the wrong ones? And then I just thought the writing community was very, very, you know, open. And
probably lonely people sitting at home who are dying to reach out to people. Yeah. Unlike you with the two kids. And I can't believe you got your husband to mind someone else's babies. I swear to God, he sounds unique.
He is, I know.
Does he do the cooking and cleaning as well?
Oh, he does. Jeez, I don't do any of that.
Oh, Christ. What's his surname? I might have an affair. I was not up for it up to now. But
he does all the cooking. Well, I do a bit of cleaning, but I don't do any cooking. No, I'll cook the kids' teas and that. But I mean,
oh, yeah. What is it? Waffles and a fish finger? Yeah.
Definitely. I wouldn't be doing a kid's cookbook now, but yeah. That way.
I swear, if my gang had waffles and a fish finger, now it would actually be 5-star, because it's all about the jellies and the, well, I suppose we had wham bars in our day and stingers and all of that, but it's about the Haribos and the I don't know. I don't even know what the new sweets are. But
listen, I know it's whatever keeps them happy. But like that, when I had them down at the flat, then they were just, you know, it's just Pringles and Oreos and whatever you can get. In the corner there while I'm having a pint.
Totally, like a bag of chips is literally highbrow. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, sure. I did it both nights. Was like pizza from Dough Brothers in Air Square, sitting on the grass.
Very posh, very posh. I'm sure there was a sprinkle of basil. There was a little flake of basil on there somewhere. Oregano. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm going to let you go, because I actually think my laptop's going to explode. Can you hear it? It sounds like a fucking helicopter. Actually.
Abort.
So the big thing is, watch this space, keep following yourself. You've got a website, carolinegracecassidy.com. On Instagram, you're Caroline Grace Cassidy. Are you Caroline Grace Cassidy everywhere?
I am everywhere. I'm Caroline Grace Cassidy, yeah.
Brilliant.
Twitter and the whole
Brilliant.
Shebang.
You are inspiring now. I'm not just blowing wind up your whatever. And because I think we were born around the same time of, we were born the same year. It's mildly depressing that you've achieved 3 times more than I have, but it's okay. I've potential. There's a long life ahead. I'll be like Maggie Smith. I'll do it all towards the end, or David Kelly, or one of those. It'll be great.
Get writing that book. Seriously.
I will.
There's a huge market for that. So get going on that.
I will, and you better give Michael Scott a phone call there to give him some. He actually gave me some more dirt on you. It was something about underpants. I'm not going to say it here. It's too dirty.
Michael and his husband's collection of different styles of underpants, should we say, in his house is to be admired.
But it sounds like they're colour coordinated and ironed and everything. Unbelievable. I must go down and have a look. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Norma.
And we will chat another time, maybe.
Okay, Absolutely, I'd love to. Maybe the next time we'll be able to clink a glass.
Yeah, we might act together or coordinate somehow, somewhere in life. Great.
Absolutely, I'd love that.
I'll throw my children in there. Kevin can mind them, exactly. Bye. All right.
Oh, she's so normal now. You see, in my head now, I'm her friend. She's my friend, or whatever way it works. She's possibly have forgotten my name already, but like, we're close, man. We're so close. Yeah. I know you could relate to her though, couldn't you? And you kind of know that from someone's writing, if they're cool, funny, normal. Anywho, hope you enjoyed that. If you did, tell your friends. If you didn't enjoy it, shut your hole. Until next week. And CarolineGraceCassidy.com is her website, and Caroline Grace Cassidy she's on Instagram, and that's her on Twitter as well. Oh, C Grace Cassidy on Twitter. So yeah, give her a follow, and be sure to she doesn't have a ghostwriter. Read her books. Thanking you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.